you can hear us echoing in Portcullis House in a secret corridor. This is Andrew Harrison with another second Emergency Remaining X podcast of the weekend. I'm here with the heroic Naomi Smith, who's been organising today's march. How are you doing, Naomi?
Yeah, elated and very relieved.
Yeah. How are your levels of energy and serotonin and things?
I mean, I shouldn't be as alert and as awake and as buzzing as I am, given how little sleep I've had for the last 3 years. However, just the sheer relief waves washing over my body are keeping me very, very much awake, and I really need a drink. So we're gonna record this really quickly, and we're gonna go for a drink.
Is it just like throwing a party, basically, where you're just like, oh, thank God people came?
Yeah, exactly that. Right? Yeah. Thank God 1.5 million people came to my party.
1.5 million people, all right then. Also with us, you heard him then, it's Ian Dunt of politics.co.uk, who spent the entire day sitting on a tiny bench in Parliament watching what the hell's going on. And I was trying to keep up with it by your tweets, but of course there's no reception on the march. Right. So you get one tweet, and then 3/4 hour later you get another half a tweet.
I'm not on a bench. You do know that I'm not an MP, right? So I'm not just sat. I love this idea. I'm just sat there in the middle of them all.
Yet, listeners.
Not an MP yet.
I think never.
Well, what's your take on the day, Ian?
I think we've probably had very different days, so I'm quite intrigued to talk to you guys about how yours was. Okay, so we staved off defeat today. Today could have been the most, that march could have been the most depressing march of your life, you know what I mean? Like, that could have been disaster. And we've staved it off there. Things are not looking great for us, but we are in a situation where we can put up a fight now. So our back's up against the wall, but the battleground is changing slightly mixing my metaphors, and it is game on, but it's game on when, let's face it, like, it's a difficult situation that we're in right now. Yeah.
So just to rewind then, let's look at Parliament first. And the key thing, I was at the sound system in the middle of the march, and in the middle of Ed Chemical or somebody, the MC goes, "Great news, Boris Johnson has been defeated." And everybody went berserk, imagining that's the end of it, done, we could all party on now. Mm. Obviously, that was the Letwin Amendment.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, Naomi, how tight was the Letwin Amendment before we explain exactly what happened?
The exact number?
16
votes. Right, yeah. It was 16, isn't it?
Which means 8 MPs.
Right, So what, look, the numbers weren't looking good yesterday at all, and they weren't looking good they were looking good for Letwin last night, and then this morning the rumours were starting to circle around that Letwin's not going to go through, and all the eyes were on the DUP, and the DUP were hinting, they were keeping us all, you know, dangling, they were hinting that they were going to vote for Letwin, and as soon as that sort of big hint got dropped, some of them got yanked out of the chamber by Johnson's PPSs, and at that moment I thought we were done for, because they were going to be given a massive bung and everyone's got a price, and maybe that was, you know, Johnson finding what the DUP's price was. But no, they, you know, stuck to their unionist principles and dug in, and they did vote for the Letwin Amendment. So then what happened was, and Ian will be able to explain this in far more detail than me, but then the government decides not to put up its tellers for the substantive motion, so the motion effectively gets nodded through. And if you remember, that's what happened with the Kinnock Amendment a few weeks ago, where because they didn't, the government didn't put up tellers, so that automatically went through. So this has now automatically gone through. So the deal with the Letwin Amendment attached to it, which is basically saying we won't pass your deal until all the relevant legislation has also been passed, has now gone through.
Now, I see that Marg is trying to argue, and this is listeners, warning, this is me trying to read and understand tweets, that Marg is saying
he's going to try and bring the bill back on Monday.
But apart from that, he's trying to say that the Benn Act is now no longer in force?
No, that's not true.
He's trying something else. So he's basically going, look, we're going to go back to the meaningful votes under the EU Withdrawal Act. And basically what he said was, we're just going to fucking try again. Like, we don't really give a shit what you just said. We're just going to try this again, and we're going to do it on Monday. So he's going to clearly put forward like an emergency business statement, basically saying, all the normal debates are off. We're not going to talk about the Queen's speech. We're going to put forward... Basically, we're just going to try and have another vote on the deal, ignoring you completely. Now, that shouldn't be possible. We have rules. I mean, the governments don't get to just put forward the same shit over and over again. The government, I think, will suggest that there's been a material change in the circumstances, because the letter has been sent on the Benn Amendment. It hasn't yet, but it would have been by Monday afternoon. Then, on that basis, stuff would have changed so they get to just do the vote again. I don't think they'll succeed with that. Oliver Letwin immediately spotted this, and in two sort of, like, fucking, like, he pulled the arrow back. You know that, like, lawyers' arguments where you're like, oh, that one went right at the fucking weak spot right there. And so he fired it off. We're just like, look, that was already in, I remember. That was already catered for within the Bend. Because, of course, in the Bend Act, you can still cancel it whenever you want, even after the extension's gone. So on that basis, I mean, the way that Burko responded to him, I don't think he could have been much clearer of, like, Burko will spend tomorrow and Monday morning trying to find a way of shitting on this thing and stopping the government from doing it.
Yeah, it's there all may be about a technicality, the speaker now. But, all eyes are on John Burko for Monday, whether he will allow, effectively, MPs to debate the same thing again, which precedent says no, and precedent with John Burko's reading of things would suggest no. So I don't think that's going to happen. What I will challenge, though, is whether or not we're going to really see the executive put that Article 50 extension letter in or not. As on my way here, lots and lots of rumours from the MPs coming through on WhatsApp saying they're hearing that they're not going to do it. It's vital. Regardless of what happened today, we need that extension letter to go in, because even if the deal had gone through today, there just isn't sufficient parliamentary time to pass everything we need to before the 31st of October.
Can I do a bit more on that? Because I think that is a danger, but then there's... But I suspect that he will send it. Okay, but even if he doesn't, the courts will force him to send it. The thing he's clearly trying to do is that he's going to go to the EU guys and go, just, if you don't mind, just don't say anything. Yeah. Don't say anything until, ideally, fucking, you know, late October. Keep on scaring my guys, because right now the EU and Boris Johnson are aligned. Yeah. They both want the same thing, so they want the deal. So they'll be doing the same thing that they've been doing over the last few days, just trying to scare the shit and make it look like no deal could happen. So his real tactic will be just trying to hold up that decision. So they will eventually do it, but for the time being, that seems to be the way he's going to go.
When I was in Brussels last week with the cross-party delegation, I was pretty shocked by what I was hearing back even from our allies in Europe. They really have almost given up on us. And so my challenge back to them was, you mustn't. I only have two parliaments. My Scottish and Welsh colleagues with me today have three. I've got two, and one of them's letting me down, and I cannot have you, my other one, my EU parliament, cannot let me down. This country is now majority Remain. We have had 74 out of 75 polls done in 2019 alone show a very clear lead for Remain. You cannot throw us to the Johnson Wolves, this minority regime that can barely get a thing through parliament, who want this awful deal to go through. Please, you know, look after us, give us this time we need, be patient. I know that Britain doesn't have much of a right to ask for any more patience from you at the moment, but please do so. I agree with you, Ian. They do want the deal. They are very, very, very fed up with us. That said, I mean, and I think a lot of why is down to Labour and Labour's fault at not having given them enough smoke signals that they are genuinely opposed to this. And I think if we had a very strong Leave Party and the Conservatives with a very strong Remain Party in Labour, then I think the EU would have had more pause for thought on this. But as they see it, it's like, oh, well, look, the two big parties are both pretty leavey. We better give you a deal. And that's probably it. I think today, stemming the number of Labour rebellions was a very important thing to send that signal back to Europe of things are changing. We are changing things in Parliament. We are seizing control back from them.
So, Ian, you said that our backs are a bit against the wall. Give us a step away from procedure. What's the strategic position now in terms of the immediate goal is obviously as long as extensions we can possibly get, ideally to enable another vote. Where does where we are now leave that goal?
We're going to have to win a lot of things to get through this. So, first of all, at some point, I think the legislation is going to have to be published. I don't think he's going to be able to get away with this thing of just doing it as a motion. Yeah. So then we're going to go into warfare on the legislation, trying to find stuff in there that can turn people out, turn those purged Tories away from supporting the deal, make sure any Labour dealers decide they're not going to do it. Ideally, even peeling off some ERG guys. I'm like, have you seen the look of this shit right here? Do you understand what that means? So hopefully those gremlins there will help us do it to the point where the deal would be rejected at second reading or even at third, but it has to be second, I think, actually. And then chaos, extension, election. Hope that there's an election with, you know, Jeremy Corbyn being the largest party, but not having an overall majority. And so the Lib Dems and the SNP and all of that can be on there forcing him to do it. And then a referendum and then we win. So I hope everyone's tremendously relieved by the pattern of events that I've just laid out, because I'm sure it'll be the easiest part.
That's sorted. Thank you. Good night. Peter O'Hanrahan. He didn't like it, but he had to go along with it. So what can listeners do between now and Monday to expedite any of these things?
Look, the key thing you can keep doing is pressuring the MPs. Thank them. If your MP voted the right way today, it's really important that they get thanked both on social media and through email. So hey-mp.uk is the best way to do that. You can send the messages through that tool. It's effective. I think particularly the Labour MPs that were wavering, that we were worried about, you know, being nice to them on social media and thanking them for their bravery and, and for doing the right thing is really, really important. They need some love right now.
Let's talk about out there with the people who were backstage with the grandees and so on. How's it today in the boiling engine room of today's march?
Well, I mean, obviously it was a bit panicky because we didn't know necessarily what time votes were going to be and how many votes there were going to be, how many amendments were going to get voted on, and therefore what time our speakers would be able to come out of the House to actually speak. But... yeah, a big, big, big sigh of relief when the amendment was won, and it's been fantastic. And the crowds are just enormous, bigger than even we'd hoped. We knew that it would be the biggest because we knew we were laying on more coaches than any other march before, so that was fantastic. Our letter to Donald Tusk, signed by the people, even if Boris Johnson doesn't want to sign it, it's just absolutely, there's not space to add any more signatures on it, so we might pop it on a van to Brussels tonight and deliver it to Donald Tusk ourselves.
How many people do we think?
The press release has said 1.5 million.
1.5 million?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. biggest march in history.
Did it feel that way?
Yeah.
I mean, pretty busy. We were up on Curzon Street and Park Lane meeting the Romaniacs people. And hello to the Romaniacs people who came out. It was great to see you. And thanks for marching with the banner. Wherever the banner is now, I don't know, but it's died in battle and it went out the way it wanted to go out. It was really fantastic.
What the fuck happened to the banner?
Lost it.
We gave it to, we, you know,
some, oh, I see,
disappeared
right.
into the crowd.
So you used it for barricades.
Listeners took it away and they marched with it and it looked like a kind of French Revolution oil painting with noble people holding a banner aloft. It was really inspiring and exciting. So that's fantastic. It felt really, really busy. It felt really, really busy. I had been expecting, we were talking a little bit about this before we started recording, I had slightly expected a funeral procession. Mm. I'd expected us all to be a bit on the downer, and it was not like that at all. It was extremely defiant, extremely up. Maybe a little bit of element of, well, if we're going to go down, we're going to go down in a blaze of glory, perhaps the sun. But the reaction to the news as it filtered out was fantastic, and people's spirits were fantastic. I've never been at a rave before where the MC has said, massive shout out to Oliver Letwin. So the rave van, which co-organised by our friends at Soho Radio, the Triple R rave wagon, ended up in Trafalgar Square. I think it's just as we're recording, they've just been cleared out by the police.
Aww.
Yeah, like cleared out by the man. So I think it seems to have, I mean, we did an emergency podcast on Friday and we did our best to keep it up, didn't we? And some people found it a bit of a downer, but maybe this one is a bit less of a downer.
You can't, I mean, the thing is, you can't fuck around. We're not, you know, we're not propagandists. We're, you know, so our thing is basically like these are my feelings, these are our chances, and every moment you've got to be realistic. And it's not like, it was nice for me, it felt fucking great for me just to see those crowds outside of my office window outside of Parliament today, let alone being on that march. So I can imagine the euphoria. And then you get that sense of relief just by having a vote come in that works for you, that holds things up. But let's not fucking, you know, we are still in the shit.
Yeah.
You know, we are. And like, but then we always
but
have
we're
been,
also
right?
still in the EU.
We are, exactly.
Yeah.
And Romanians
and
have been in this position forever. Yeah. Like, from the day of the fucking vote, it was like, you're done. Yeah. You know what? You can just shut the fuck up. And if you say anything against this stuff, you hate your country, you hate the people.
Well, but I think in the last week, we have really proven that it's Remainers that are the true patriots. It's Remainers who are the true Brits. We are the ones that have been standing up for Northern Ireland, for Scotland, for Wales. I mean, look at what an Irish Sea border does to Holyhead. I mean, that is the second biggest port after Dover. Nothing has been done to prepare for them for an Irish border. You know, so you know that's why we took Liz Savile Roberts with us to the EU, because it was so important for the Welsh to make that case to the EU as well. And I think we're bringing it back. There were so many Union Jacks on the march today. It wasn't just your standard EU flag brigade everywhere. Everyone had got that message. You know, we are the patriots. We are the ones that want what is best for Britain.
I didn't see all of the speeches. In fact, I saw a tiny, tiny bit, but I did see a friend of the show, Ayesha Hazarika,
comparing
and with the fantastic line, "Who would have thought it? Boris Johnson caught between the devil and the DUP." You were much closer to me than you're a lot closer.
Yeah,
than
right,
I was.
Right at the front. Yeah.
Who were your star performers?
I mean, come on, Heseltine is an absolute class act, and he was closing today, and he was almost bringing people to tears. Absolutely phenomenal. But I think Liz Saville Roberts, I mean, she is one phenomenal communicator. Absolutely brilliant.
We need to get her on the show then, don't we?
We do. Okay. Well, yeah, I'll get her on the show, no problem. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, and we're doing Welsh.
Yeah,
good
idea.
A Sadiq Khan. Yeah, first time he'd sort of spoken properly at one of these big matches, and yeah.
I was surprised to be rather kind of electrified by John McDonnell, because I have my scepticisms, but that was a proper speech, genuinely kind of really perked you up and prickled the hairs on your forearms.
Yeah, yeah. When you have the angry left on your side, it's for a change, it's quite good fun.
Angry left do make great speeches.
They do.
Like, I mean, if you're going to sell out speeches, you would go
speeches.
For him.
They make very loud speeches.
But you would ultimately go with him rather than, like, you know, like, I obviously love Dominic Grieve with all my, you know, weak centrist liberal heart. But like, he's not going to rally that, you know.
No.
Like,
yeah.
So, wrapping it up, a much better day than we were expecting.
Yeah,
I feel great. I've got to go out and get drunk tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you do that every night.
I don't.
A lot of nights.
I live a quiet life, a stranger to champagne. I hope, have managed to do rather a more cheering emergency podcast than the last one. If you were marching, well done. It was amazing and thrilling, and I was proud to be a tiny part of it. Proud to be a pixel, because that's what we all are. We're all pixels on the gigantic photograph from above. What's the next turn point? What's the next hurdle? Monday.
Monday, yeah.
2:30
yeah.
Monday.
Yeah.
2:30 Monday.
So get some sleep on Sunday.
Just enjoy Sunday. I really can't
off,
stress
guys.
That enough. Yeah.
Enjoy Sunday, because it never ends. But the good news is, it never ends. It's never going to stop. Thank you, Romaniacs.
Thank
we'll see you.
You
soon.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye.